Good afternoon. Today is Friday, October the 5th, 271st day of the year. Joining us this afternoon's Eureka City Manager Dave Tyson. You think there are cameras around? You walk in the room, you start waving to people and smiling. And
it's just who I am.
Oh,
you know, Aaron deserves a hello.
Oh, I didn't hear the Aaron part. I thought you started waving to anybody who might be looking in the studio at the moment.
Well, you know, as city managers, we are kind of egotistical.
Yeah.
Especially those with just 2.5 months left.
Yeah, the countdown has begun.
No, not really.
Well, if you're taking the time to wave to non-existent people, not it, that Aaron was there. I'm talking about the other kind of gestures there, because I knew you wouldn't be waving to me.
No, that was a different gesture.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We'll do a catch of what's going on around town when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. Oh, great. Now he's the anti-celebrity. He just turns away from the microphone when
yes.
It turns on. What a pal. What a buddy.
Well, you didn't want me coughing in the
microphone. Well, I wasn't sure what you were doing there based on the conversation we were wrapping up. Oh, it's 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Eureka City Manager for the quarter, Dave Tyson. So, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, it is getting close, and it is exciting to look at new challenges. Like the next hour on this radio station.
Challenges, yeah. I think you just opened a box that you weren't anticipating, but thank you very much. Before we step through that one, our quote this afternoon comes from Margaret Chase Smith, quote, "When people keep telling you that you can't do a thing, you kind of want to like to try it."
That's very true.
Yeah.
It's, yes. I think that I've spent my whole career as city manager with that quote on my wall.
Kind of wanting to try it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, how structured are things?
In my world?
In the world of government and bureaucracy,
we feel
oftentimes that things are cast in concrete and they never move, or if they do, it takes a 9-point earthquake to shift anything. Is from the inside looking out, is it that way?
I think in larger governments it is. I think in local governments, especially in the sizes of, you know, our local governments here, the cities especially, I think there's a lot of creativity that happens every day in problem solving. And that's largely why you have people that stay in a smaller government. I'm a bureaucrat, but I'd like to think I'm maybe an entrepreneur a little bit too. And I try to think outside the box when it comes to problem solving. So that part of the job is very attractive. And get to the specifics, it's not cast in concrete. We have muni codes and state and federal laws that we have to address, but we also get to be creative and try to revitalize our community and do those kinds of things. So
how do you suggest, great guru?
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Do
you sense the hook being set?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. With the general plan.
Hopefully it's barbless.
Yeah, we'll find out how much flesh it takes. With the general plan and all the emphasis that's going on there to make everything the same for everybody, this opportunity for interpretation to make things happen a little bit better on a project-by-project basis, is there room for that? Would you suggest that that's the best approach for the general plan to take, or are you thinking more, no, we're going to dip this baby in cast iron and it's the same for everybody, every situation, and then everybody knows what's going on?
Well, you know, the specifics of the general plan, both for the city of Eureka and the county, I think you have to be flexible. And in this county, with our diversity in politics and beliefs, I think having something that's cast in stone, so to speak, is going to be difficult. Now, general plans, as they are, they do have some statutory requirements that have to be met. And that's part of the bureaucracy of what we were talking about earlier that's cast in stone. But we also have to be creative and put flexibility into our general plans and our planning so as to be ready for, you know, those opportunities that you know, come along so that, you know, whether it's industrial development, commercial development, housing development, or preserving, you know, lands of Humboldt County, we need to be flexible there. So I think we need to also really listen to our constituents.
So what is the distinction between flexibility and personal interpretation, either favoriting someone or going after somebody?
Good question. But we all live in, you know, this county, and it's the world of politics, and you know, and trying to take the politics out of what we're doing is very difficult. And I think, you know, for the elected officials, it's really listening to their constituencies and trying to find compromise and trying to find those middle grounds where we can agree on those issues.
That's different than staff interpretation, though.
Staff's interpretation should be the interpretation of the bosses, those being either the planning commissioners or the elected officials. And I think when staff gets out ahead of their board, that's just not the right place to be. You need to be facilitating and answering questions and providing information and not directing the process.
You know, you're not as good as filibustering as you think.
No,
you had another 20 seconds. I can really bust you now, but I think I'll be nice.
Thank you, Brian.
I'm still suffering a little bit from jet lag from driving down Brookings, so we'll just hear a little bit more music
and
than normal.
I'm jet lagged from the week I've had.
There you go. KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Dave Tyson.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson.
I'm just looking at my fans outside waving at me.
Oh, good. Well, you're not protecting your back then. you said it was a rough day, rough week. I'm not sure you don't have the Bullseye T-shirt on. So
I'm
glad
could
you're
be.
In front of the window and I'm over here a little protected.
That's true.
I may have to clean up a mess, but that's okay.
That's true.
You might anyway. You had mentioned, Dave, in the opening segment about challenges and dealing with challenges. I don't think it's any surprise. I've had people calling me, and why they call me, I don't know, but they call. And general discussion on the street of the general condition of what's gone on in Eureka in the last little bit. Merle was in Chief Harpham on Monday. We talked a little bit about some of the things and that's going on at the state level and the realignment and stuff. Yeah, it's harvest season. It's going on. How frustrating is this situation to see, I'll call it your city because it's my city too. I mean, growing up, our city, our change like it has so rapidly in the last 12 to 14 months?
Yeah, it's been shocking, I guess. I was a part of some discussion this week on, you know, what's happening on the street with so many homeless and transient individuals frequenting our downtown and Old Town and those areas that the city has put, you know, millions of dollars in redeveloping over the last 12 years. And people are becoming more and more angry at the, you know, that situation. And you know, I'm on one hand I'm glad that people are, you know, taking some ownership and recognizing there is a problem, and it's a problem that we as a community, not just Eureka, but we as a community need to try to address in a more proactive way. But it does affect, you know, the quality of life of the citizens of Eureka, and I recognize that, you know, the homeless and transients in the population need assistance as well. But we've struggled with it, you know, as long as I've been with the city of Eureka. But we've really struggled with it over the last several years, and right now it's you know, reached a pinnacle of sorts. And so
if you had a sack of pixie dust, so you get three. Not one.
Questions.
Yeah, I know. But at least you remember the last time I asked it. So what would be the three things that you would like to have done? Money out the window, it doesn't matter. If you could just say, we'll do this and this and this, and I think that would help to address the situation. What would those be?
Well, we do provide services in Eureka, probably to a greater scale than some of the others. And it's not the city of Eureka. It's a lot of well-intentioned community groups that provide those services. And I think a coordinated effort on the parts of those service providers would certainly be of benefit. We do a pretty good job of feeding and clothing, but we do a great job in this region of providing housing. There is certainly a need for housing of folks in Humboldt County.
Is that the second one or the first? Okay, that's part B.
So I guess that's 1B is just the coordination of services. I get the question asked of me often is the level, this is maybe 2, the level of what services are provided. The city of Eureka doesn't receive funding of any sort for addressing homelessness in our community. We do have some housing money, and we do try to spend it on low and very low income housing, and we work on that almost daily. But I think a look at to the types of services we provide here, and are they more? Are they greater than the other regions in our surrounding area? Do we provide a higher level of dollars than other regions? I get those questions asked of me every day. I don't have those answers because, you know, I'm not in that industry. But certainly having some form of review and report on that, those kinds of services would be, I think, beneficial for the elected officials, more so than the staff, but the elected officials, so they can make those quantitative and qualitative decisions for the community. And I think that's lacking here when we are trying to answer those questions. And the information is probably available. It's just that it hasn't been disseminated to all of the public and all of the elected officials that really need to make those decisions on behalf of the community. So those are the kinds of things I think that need to happen. And you know, I applaud the Chamber of Commerce who has taken this on. I think their effort, maybe number 3, is to support those kinds of efforts in trying to bring the business owners, the private property owners, the private sector into this discussion and, you know, bring some business sense to, excuse me.
Kind of got you there.
To,
huh?
You know, help local government. Not solve, but maybe get at some of the issues. But
okay, you got me.
I got
not one of those three things involves a big dollar sign. Not a single one. I was thinking, you know, mental health services. You know, take some kind of large housing facility, so that's an option. I mean, things on a much grander scale. This sounds like it's doable, coordinated effort stuff.
And it is going on. There are groups trying to work on those things. But I think, you know, having that more at elected official and public dialogue would be great.
It's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The research has tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. Dave, what about the choo-choo? Mr. Kreider was in on Wednesday talking about some of his experiences. He said something that was really interesting for me, and it was like one of those V8 moments. I'm a tomato juice guy, but a V8 moment nonetheless.
For me. I was thinking about a Chevy or something.
Okay, fair enough. He said, we got to get the buy-in from the haulers, the Burlington Northerns, the folks that are out there that are doing it, and see if they have any interest in this. Would they support? Would they at least give tacit agreement that this is something of interest that they see that there could be potential with? Okay, new perspectives, new voices. That sounds pretty healthy. Are we continuing to have that kind of discussion about the East-West rail, or has it gotten into the same old grow versus no grow, yes, no, or maybe exclamation points in each position?
There is a lot of that goes on, like with any new idea. And, you know, that's the beauty of this county is that we get to have those discussions. But my involvement after the city council asked that I be involved with the East-West rail feasibility study concept was to grow this discussion to be large enough and transparent enough so that the community understood it, and to bring on political partners and private sector partners into that discussion. And really what we're talking about now is a study of the East-West rail concept.
Find out.
And for me, to have a very transparent process where all interested parties, as we were just talking, have an opportunity to hear the information from experts, rail experts, engineers, the like, on a real down and dirty feasibility, on the ground feasibility study. We want to be able to show that a line east-west from Humboldt Bay to the National Rail System somewhere over in the Central Valley, most likely just at Gerber, California, at their rail yard.
That's beautiful downtown Gerber.
We want to be able to show that it's physically feasible, and from that feasibility study to downtown Gerber, we would demonstrate that it's physically feasible. But also in that process, what are the environmental issues? What are the land ownership issues? What are the costs potential? I mean, this is a very high level, you know, look at this. This isn't going to be an engineered design project. It's at this level. We're going to be looking at bringing the political entities together. And so far, we've generated a lot of support regionally, statewide, even at the federal level. There's discussion on this topic.
Has anybody said no?
No one has said no to the idea of support. We now have we're putting together a memorandum of agreement, easy for me to say, with Humboldt, Trinity, Tehama counties, the city of Eureka, and a group called Upstate California, which is a Northern California marketing and economic development group. And they're going to, we have all of the mentioned parties have either agreed to the MOA or will be having them approved here in the next few weeks. All the parties that I mentioned have given support to this idea, so we're now bringing them on to form a what we call now the Upstate Rail Connect Committee. And they will be the group that would go out and seek funding, would look to hire a consulting firm to look at this, to do the feasibility study. And the group would also be the governance of that process and would provide the transparency that is necessary to have this overreaching discussion about this.
So it wouldn't pit one jurisdiction against another. It would really be the entire area that would be impacted.
Yeah, the whole area that's been impacted would be impacted potentially by this rail has been invited to be a party to this. And so we've gotten letters of support from private industry, from just about every imaginable public entity has weighed in with letters of support or letters of recognition and support, resolutions of support. We've had, just kind of run down some of the lists, we've had support from both the Six Rivers and Shasta Trinity Forests. National Forest. We've had support from, you know, all the way to our president of HSU, to Gary Eagles, at superintendent of Humboldt County Schools. So everywhere we turn, people are supporting this concept of a study. And we're not, you know, building a railroad tomorrow. That's going to be a few years off yet, but if that were to occur. And we've just recently got a letter of support and interest from Union Pacific, they've been following our process and now have weighed in with a letter indicating that they are interested in the results of the study and applaud us for us being the city of Eureka for taking the lead on that process and give us encouragement to keep it moving.
KINS, News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Dave Tyson.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Hagee Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. I don't know what to do, man. Now we got one segment left and my paper's full. My note sheet that I have. Dave, if everybody is on board with this, or it appears as if everybody is interested in exploring the feasibility study of the East-West Rail, why does it still feel like we're doing battle and slugging it out in the back alleys, even to just get the feasibility study supported?
Well, I think the answer is we're Humboldt County. And I think that's what we do here, is we slug it out on economic development and what is Humboldt County going to be. And you see it in every aspect of what we do. And you see it with our general plan. You see it with, projects like ideas like East-West Rail, right on down the line. And that is certainly done in the right way, is a healthy thing for our community, is to have those discussions. Unfortunately, I think, and this isn't one side over the other, because I try not to pick sides, but, you know, we try to kill things before we're here in this county, before we have a healthy discussion about them. And I've seen that time and time again in the county, in my role as city manager, those observations. And I think East-West Rail, when that first came to me back in January, December timeframe, when I was asked to do this by the council, one of the things I told council and council members in private is that if we're going to do this, it needs to be done in a way that all parties have opportunity with the information in a very fair and transparent manner, which is what we've been trying to create. Because my fear was, if we went forward with this in our typical fashion, it was going to it wasn't going to go anywhere just because of the weight of the discussion and dialogue that happens here and the political infighting that occurs. And so the way to take that out of the conversation was to make it a very transparent discussion by having all the players, or as many as the players involved, and as many of the interested parties involved. And that's why, from the get-go, I reached out to HEMA and Trinity Counties to get them involved, and upstate California to get them involved, because they represent the other partners in this discussion. And the worst thing that could have happened was we made this a Humboldt County discussion only. And then, if I were the city manager of Red Bluff or the county administrator in Tehama County, I'd be wondering, well, where's this thing going and why aren't we part of the discussion? So that's been very helpful. And I think everybody can understand a study, and everybody can understand bringing the parties together for that discussion.
Well, let me ask you a 30-second response.
Thanks.
Because you're getting close. With you not being there, does it die, or is there enough momentum so if the study does come back that it will be vetted and the community will have a chance to play?
Well, I think there are some that maybe in some political circles who are thinking that once David Tyson retires from the city of Eureka, this will go away and it's my project, but it's not my project. I, with the leadership of the city council, have made it a community project. So, no, it doesn't go away. There's now an advocacy group, a Landbridge Alliance group. There's several groups out there that I'm sure will make it continue.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Hopefully the week ended up for you.
Yes, it did.
Okay, good, good. We've been Talking Shop with Dave Tyson. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you at 6:00.